Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Monmouth County. My name is Liz Tortorella, and I serve as chair of the Music Committee. Whoever you are, whomever you love, however you arrived at this beloved place, you are welcome here. Our mission is to create community, transform ourselves, and transform the world. Our summer services are varied. Some are lay-led and informal. Others may be presented by a guest speaker or by our minister, Reverend Virginia Jaraka Ernst. Today, we welcome our guest presenters, our own UUCMC musicians, and we thank them for presenting this service. As you note in your order of service, thank you for holding your applause today until the end of the service. If you are new here today, please pull out a visitor card available in the lobby to learn more about us. After the service, light refreshments will be served in the community room to your right. Please come join us. If you need a quiet place but still want to hear the service, you may go to the East Room out the door to your right. News of this week's events can be found in your order of service and in your weekly e-blast. We have a special announcement today. There are a few flyers out in the lobby about a Jim Scott concert at the home of John and Corey Hoffman 1 week from tonight, August 6th at 7 p.m. You can see Elaine in the green shirt and Corey, if you want to put a hand up, Corey in the black shirt if you're interested. And Jim Scott, many of you know he's done concerts here. He also wrote Gather the Spirit, one of our favorite hymns. Something different for today. As you may know, we often take a moment at this point to greet our neighbor, but we're going to handle this a little bit differently this morning. In order not to disturb the flow of the music, we're going to combine two elements at this time. If you could remain seated while you offer a smile or a handshake. That's me. That was me. I'm sorry. If you could remain seated while you offer a smile or a handshake to those sitting near you, we will also do the morning offering at the same time. So it's good if you stay in your seats today, and we're going to combine two elements. You'll say hello. And the ushers, thank you for handling the collection while you greet your neighbor. Thank you for your generosity. Please turn off your cell phone as we enter into this time of reflection and celebration. Again, welcome to this place of love and hope.
Just a little note on that we just did. I visited with Kirsten, my daughter, to the Hunterton congregation, and that's what they did. I thought, let's try it. So that was what they do. I will say it was a little chaotic when they did it, but worked fine for us. All right, the first reading is Grumpy Keys by Stephen Woodhull. My young daughter was sitting at the piano, randomly pecking away at a few keys when I walked by. "Hey, Daddy," she said, "do you want to hear something pretty?" She tapped a couple of individual keys at the far right and said, "These sound nice," and tapped a couple of individual keys on the far left and said, "These sound nice." She then spread her hand, she very carefully spread her fingers so that each hand was poised over multiple keys at the same time and said, "But it sounds the prettiest when you play the grumpy ones with the happy ones," while pressing all the keys she could simultaneously. I smiled and said that was very pretty, but that I had never heard of grumpy keys before. She patiently explained, "Well, yeah, this is grumpy," while tapping on the left, "and this is happy," while tapping on the right. Hear the difference? I gave her a hug and I told her I liked it when she taught me new things. And the second poem was written by Liz Dean and goes, "Morning. You are looking at a person who has heard and seen Yo-Yo Ma last night, bowing and playing, teaching transportation, such as flying, even over Newark, New Jersey, for God's sake, and walking, though only briefly, on water. Civilized greets ecstatic on this, oh, good, good morning. And we will light the chalice this morning. My dear granddaughter, Aria Lee Norberg, will light the chalice. And I'd like to say the centering thought once more, which I think is so beautiful. A painter paints pictures on canvas, but musicians paint their pictures on silence. By Leopold Stokowski, conductor.
Okay, are there any children here who'd like to come down to the front? I see a few back in the back. You want to come up? My kids are going to join me too. You guys want to come down? Oh, come on. Come show me up. Come on, yeah, come on. Good morning. You can have a seat wherever you want on the steps. Looks good. You guys want to come up? They don't bite usually. I was going to tell you guys a little bit about the song I'm going to sing this morning. So the song that I'm going to sing comes from an opera. Have any of you ever heard of what opera is? Know anything about opera? You do? You do? You do a little bit too? What can you tell me about operas? Mommy sings them a lot. What can you tell me about operas? What do you know about them? Anything? No? Are they just like the music you hear here every Sunday? They're a little different, aren't they? Any ideas how they're different? They can get very loud and annoying when your mom sings them every day to you while you clean your bedroom or brush your teeth or anything like that. Well, this specific opera is called Ruzalka. It's in a different language, so that's one of the things that's different about it. It's an opera that opens up at the beginning of the opera. The curtain goes up, and the scene is a meadow, like grassy area with trees, around a lake. And this lake is ruled by a water gnome. I guess that means like a ruler of the water. And he has a daughter named Ruzalka, and she's a water nymph. I'm not exactly sure what that is, but like kind of like a fairy, I guess. You know what a nymph is? What is a nymph? Like a water spirit. Oh, very good. Okay, so she tells her father that she has fallen in love with a prince who comes to hunt around the water every now and then. And she wants to get legs so she can go away from the water and be with this prince. So the father, the water gnome, doesn't really want her to. He thinks it's a bad idea. But he says, okay, well, if you really want to, you need to go see this witch. Her name is Jezibaba. And so she goes to Jezibaba, and Jezibaba says, well, I can do this for you, but you're going to lose your voice, and you could lose your immortality. So you, for now, when she's a water nymph, she lives forever and ever. But if she decides to go do this, she won't live forever and ever. Does this story sound familiar to any of you? Yeah? What do you think? What does it sound like? Anything? Aria, do you want to guess? The Little Mermaid. That's right. It's just like The Little Mermaid. A little bit different because that's ocean and this is a lake, but it's very similar. In fact, the story that came to this opera was also started the story of The Little Mermaid. So very similar. Oh, my technology went on crazy. Okay, so she decides that she is going to drink this, but before she drinks it, because we know she's going to lose her voice when she drinks this, she sings a song, because this is opera, and we sing everything, okay? So there's a few things I wanted to remind you about opera. If you don't know about opera, there's a few things I should warn you about. First of all, if this was a real opera, you'd see sets. You'd see pictures behind me, and trees, and maybe something that looked like water. In fact, the pictures that are up here, I don't know if you guys saw either of these, that's a picture of someone singing this song in an opera. So you can tell how beautiful they made the set. And they had this gigantic moon, okay? So that's one thing you'll hear. The other thing is that, what was that? This is Ruzalka. I don't know who's singing it. I don't know who she is, but this, the name of it is Rusalka. And it's a Czechoslovakian opera. It's one of the most famous ones. And so the other thing you'll notice is that you won't recognize any of the words because it's all in a different language. So that's the other thing. The third thing is that it's super, it will get super loud. One of the things that annoys my kids is that when I sing, I get super loud, and Finn says it hurts his ears. So it may, I'll try not to get too close to you, and if you have to cover your ears, I won't be offended, but it does get kind of loud. And the last thing is that it can get kind of dramatic, and I don't just mean me acting, because I actually don't do a lot of acting in this, but you'll hear the music, like the piano, changing. So all of a sudden it's happy at the beginning, and she's calling out to her love, because basically this story is about her saying she's talking to the moon and telling the moon to send her message to this prince that she loves. So she's telling the moon, can you please shine down on him and tell him that I love him? But you're also going to hear a moment when the clouds come in front of the moon and she can't see it for a moment. And she thinks the moon has gone and she gets so upset. The music gets so upset. But then it comes out again and she's like, oh, okay. So it's very dramatic. So see if you can pick out these things while you're doing that. And I will not need this microphone while I'm singing. So I'm going to hand this back.
So this is a clarinet. But the piece I'm about to play isn't written for a clarinet. It's written for an English horn. How many people know what an English horn is? Good. Well, I'm not too sure myself, but English horn is a big oboe. English horn is a big oboe. And so why am I playing this piece? That's the question, right? So there are two reasons. The first reason is that when I was in the 10th grade, I went to play in an orchestra called the Compton Civic Symphony. The first time I'd ever played in an orchestra. And the very first concert, the conductor said, we're going to play the William Tell Overture. The William Tell Overture, who knows the William Tell Overture, right? So everybody knows that the last part is the Lone Ranger song, right? But there's a second, there are three parts to it. The first part has eight cellos, the third part is the Lone Ranger, but the second part is a big English horn solo. Big English horn solo. And at that rehearsal, they didn't have the English horn. The English horn wasn't there. So the conductor said, Jan, can you play this part? And so I knew the piece. I knew how it went. And so I said, okay. And in order to play the English horn part is written in the key of F. So that means when the English horn plays the note that his teacher told him is the key C, it sounds like F. And so I looked at this thing, it said, you know, it's an English horn, it's in F. And I made the biggest hash mistake. It was just a complete disaster. And so ever after, I was terrified of English horn parts. And recently I've learned how to play English horn parts. I'm gonna play the English horn part on the clarinet to attack my demons, as Lynn says. So that's the first reason. The second reason is that this particular piece is a piece that my mother loved. And so when she was young, she would go to the Philadelphia Orchestra. Philadelphia Orchestra that was conducted by Eugene Ormandy. How many people have heard of Eugene Ormandy? So Eugene Ormandy succeeded Stokowski that was just mentioned. And Eugene Ormandy used to play this piece. It was one of the signature pieces of the Philadelphia Orchestra, the Swan of 2NL. And my mother used to talk about this piece. I didn't know what it was. And then later, I learned what this piece was, the Swan of Tuonela, and it's a beautiful piece. The Swan of Tuonela, Tuonela is the Finnish Hades. The Finnish Hades, and the Swan of Tuonela swims on black waters around Tuonela, the swan does, and the swan sings this song. So, the Swan of Tuonela.
Two Japanese poems. These are the words of the song that Kirsten's going to sing. Not happy poems, but it's very typical of the Japanese sound. The first one is called A Grieving Soul. Sadness is the rain falling on the eaves. drop by drop, is falling a floating melody. I am a grieving soul listening under the eaves. Lonely sadness. Moon viewing grass doesn't know my sadness. Little by little, the buds become flowers. I'm seeing the flowers from afar, but all I see is crying. Smile. It's good music. And the last one is called Daybreak Bell. Is that the sign of love or the bell of parting? This is the sound of the daybreak bell. The bell striker is not compassionate. Little by little, the birds open their eyes. It's a little happier.
Last night I took out my computer and went to YouTube. Everybody knows what YouTube is, right? And so I looked up the Bach cello suite number one. There's a courant in it, and I listened to Yo-Yo Ma play it. And it's a good thing I didn't do that before, because I would have been scared to play this piece now for you. So the piece that I'm going to play is, in fact, the courant from the first Bach cello suite. And you might wonder why a clarinet player is playing this. You already heard me play an English horn part, so you know I have no scruples about, you know, this sort of thing. But actually, it's not my fault, because Milton Kadams, how many people have heard of Milton Kadams? Milton Kadams was the director of the Seattle Symphony for many years, and before that, he was Toscanini's assistant. Everybody knows who Toscanini is, right? So, and he was a wonderful viola player. He had played in the NBC Symphony under Toscanini, and he had taken the place of William Primrose, who was a famous viola. So Kadams was a really fabulous viola player, and he took the Bach cello suites and arranged them for viola. So the original sin had already been committed, and I'm just playing the viola part. So this is the courant from the first Bach cello suite, written for viola, played on the clarinet.
So we'll do a short meditation so we can get our breath. Right? Yes. The shakuhachi flute is a bamboo flute made in Japan. And if you want to see what the music looks like, come and look at it after the service. This short piece is called Choshi, and it means expanded breath, expanded wisdom, great Buddha. So a little something about Giancarlo Menotti as we're getting ready for this final piece. When Menotti died in 2007, he was 95 years old, and Bernard Holland wrote a wonderful article about him in the New York Times, so I'll read just part of that. Giancarlo Menotti was born on July 7th, 1911, in Tagliano, Italy, a small town near Lake Lugano in Lombardy. He was the sixth of eight children, and from a prosperous merchant family engaged in the coffee business. His mother provided piano, violin, and cello lessons for her children, and there were evening musicales in the Menotti household that left a profound impression on Giancarlo. He wrote his first opera before he was 11 and went on to become perhaps the most popular and prolific composer of his time, winning two Pulitzer Prizes. His Christmas classic, A Mall and the Night Visitors, has been performed more than 4,000 times, or so they think, often by amateur companies and on high school stages. It was created for television. Menotti's works include, in the opera, The Medium, The Console, The Telephone, The Saint of Bleecker Street, and it all showed that opera could sustain itself on the Broadway theater, something that Kurt Weill and George Gershwin managed to do only sporadically. He composed 25 operas, almost all in English. He wrote his own librettos and usually staged his own works. He also founded the Festival of Two Worlds, the long-running summer music festival that began in 1958 in Spoleto, Italy, and that he directed for some 40 years. In 1977, he helped establish an American offshoot, the Spoleto Festival USA in Charleston, South Carolina. Among other things, the festival has given American musicians, composers, and choreographers an important forum, and Westminster Choir College sings there every summer. Much of his professional life was spent in the United States, and he usually spoke of himself as an American composer, despite retaining his Italian citizenship. We at UUCMC hope to perform Among the Night Visitors the second weekend in December this year. This would be our third time performing it, and I might add, my daughter, Kirsten, has sung it all three times, or will be singing it the last time, we hope. Look for more details as it gets closer, and if we find an Among. Big if, but we'll do it. The trio for clarinet, violin, and piano was finally finished in 1996 after three attempts and performances, one movement at a time. The entire trio was finally performed at the Spoleto Festival in Italy in 1996, written for and performed by the Werder Trio. It's more or less in the style of Poulenc or Prokofiev with a lovely middle movement, as Joel says, get your tissues out for the movement. We hope you enjoy it.